Today on Brave, a lesson from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
And so in Colossians chapter 3, Paul begins to explain, how is it that you can live this new life in Christ? How is it that this gospel you were told, you can actually walk out? And so I'd like to take a look at some of the tweaks we may need to make in our Christian life if we're going to live the new life that God wants us to have.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we ask for God's will to be done in our lives, a major transformation begins to take place. But if we just sit back and expect God to do all the work, we'll miss out on some big opportunities for development and connection. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff lays out the Christian roadmap for how to experience a truly transformational life. It's part of our series, Focused, where we're learning how to live a life truly centered on Christ. If you'd like to listen to one of these messages at another time, you can always find these sermons at bravemedia.online. But now, let's join Pastor Jeff for the third and final part of his message, Living the New Life.
I started this series in Colossians by telling you that I went to the eye doctor, and I told you that when I went to the eye doctor, I was for sure I was going to need to buy reading glasses, which I didn't want to buy because I didn't want to have to put them on every time I read the word and then take them off and put them on and take them off. And so I went to the doctor, and this doctor, she explained to me how she put different contacts in my eyes, and she corrected both in such a way that through one eye I see perfect 20/20, and through the other eye I see close 20/20. And I left the office and I thought, this is amazing. I don't need to wear reading glasses. I don't need to wear glasses. I can still wear my contacts. This is awesome. 2 weeks ago, I was in Las Vegas and I had a really hard time seeing. And I was frustrated. And I was starting to think in my heart, maybe she's not as good as she said she was. Maybe she doesn't know what she's doing. You know, maybe I need to go to a different doctor when I get back home. And I started to get frustrated and angry because for 3 or 4 days now, I'm not able to see. So when I got home, I called the office and they said, well, look at your box. I said, okay. They said, which contact did you put in your left eye? And I said, well, she lowered it. So I put this one in. They go, you got the contacts in the wrong eye. Switch them. It was amazing. I switched them. I saw as good as I did the day she told me what to do. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because here the doctor told me exactly what to do, and yet because I made a little mistake, I'm blaming the doctor, I'm frustrated with my situation, I'm angry, I felt like something was overpromised and underdelivered. That's how many of us feel about the Christian faith. That pastor lied to me, my friend's not telling me the truth, how come it's not working for me? It's not as clear as it was when I heard it the first time, what's going on? This is why Paul writes chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. And so in Colossians chapter 3, Paul begins to explain, how is it that you can live this new life in Christ? How is it that this gospel you were told, you can actually walk out? And so I'd like to begin that today as we look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to look at the first four verses here today. If you'd open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, I'll read this, and then we'll take a look at some of the tweaks we may need to make in our Christian life if we're going to live the new life that God wants us to have. Here's what he says. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And in these first four verses of the chapter, he begins to unveil for us what it looks like to live the new life of Christ. And he gives us four ways to do that, four ways that living the new life involves. And as you're thinking about this, much like I tell you in every sermon, there may only be one tweak you need to make of the four, maybe two of the four, maybe all four. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the ways in which you need to be able to live the new life. The first one he talks about is this. He says living the new life involves a kingdom perspective. Living the new life involves a kingdom perspective. It's a new perspective. Notice what he says. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now, the if here, he's making the assumption that everyone he's been talking to in this letter has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you have, then you can read this verse, since you have been raised up with Christ. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Now, some of you this morning didn't realize you've been raised up with Christ already. In the same way your sins are forgiven, you've already been raised up with Christ. And here's what he says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, what are things that are above? Like, what are the above things? It's the kingdom perspective. So seek Christ where he is. Have a kingdom perspective, right? Now, why is that important? Because we live in a world, when you get anxious and you get frustrated and you get mad or you think your Christianity is not working, oftentimes it's because you're looking from earthly perspective, trying to come up with earthly solutions, and you don't know what God sees looking this way. Secondly, if you want to live the new life, it not only involves a kingdom perspective, a new perspective, but it involves a passionate pursuit. It involves a passionate pursuit of the Lord. Now, notice what he says in verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, if you have been raised, or since you've been raised with Christ, watch this, keep seeking. Like, keep seeking. That's this continual pursuit, right? And while some of you are not growing in Christ because you've lost your perspective and you're not seeking and seeing things from God's perspective, right? And some of you have lost your perspective because you're not passionately pursuing the Lord. You're just passively hoping that he changes you or does things, and the Lord doesn't work that way. The Lord wants a partnership with you in doing that. And then he tells us to live the new life in Christ. He gives us a third way of understanding that. It involves our heavenly position. It involves our heavenly position. Verse 1 said we've been raised up with Christ. Well, where is Christ? Verse 3 tells us, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 2 tells us, or the end of verse 1 rather, tells us that he's seated at the right hand of God. Do you remember after Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven and he's seated at the right hand of God. He sat down. Why? Because he had completed his work. He sat down because he was done. Now, the good news of this is there's no right hand of God. God is spirit, right? He doesn't have a right hand. God the Father doesn't have a right hand. What's the right hand? The right hand is the position of power, authority, dominion. Where did Jesus sit? Where is he at? He's in heaven. What did the Bible just say? That we have a hidden position with Christ. What? Because our life is now hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? It means while you're still here on the earth, positionally, when you trust in Christ, your soul, your life is connected with the one that is above everyone else. It means that you have access to everything that Jesus Christ has access to. Let me give you an earthly example. If you were elected president of the United States, you can walk in and out of the White House anytime you want, because where you sit determines the authority that you have. What do we have access to? Our life is hidden with Christ. Where is he? He's far above all rule and authority. So while I'm still on the earth, my life is raised with Christ already. Which is huge. That's why Ephesians 2 says it like this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says this. It says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, we were made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when you were saved, you were raised. Your soul was raised. That's why for some of you, when you got saved, you said something like this. I feel like a weight just came off me. Because positionally, your soul was raised and you are connected with the God of the universe with all dominion, power, and authority far above everything else. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, why do you need to have a kingdom perspective? Why do you need to have a pursuit of Christ? Because if you don't understand that, you miss out that all the joy publicly in Christ comes from the intimacy that you spend in your hidden life with Christ. Think about it like this. Think about it in terms of a marriage for a minute, right? I mean, there's like public part of marriage. Like Kim and I are both here today. We're just as married as we were when we woke up this morning. There's kind of a public marriage where we live our lives together among other people. But then there's part of our marriage that's a private marriage. Our private marriage is far more intimate. I have laughed my hardest laughs in my life with my wife. I've been the most angry I've ever been together with my wife. I've shed the most tears with my wife. I mean, there's something private that goes on that dictates what goes on out here. There's a hidden life that you don't see that we have that makes our public life what it is. And if I had the chance of having the public marriage, so y'all would know that we're married, or the private life, and I was asking Kim this question this morning, what would you choose? And I was like, private. I just want us. Christianity is the same way. So many of us want our Christianity to be public, or we want a title, or we want people to know that, or we want this. No, the joy of Christendom, the joy of our relationship with Christ is that personal intimacy with God. What he shares with us, what we get to share with him. And there are several times, it doesn't happen to me every single day where the Lord downloads something or tells me something, but you'll rarely hear me from the pulpit say, you know, the Lord spoke to me and told me this, and the Lord spoke to me and told me this, and the Lord spoke to me and told me, but he does. He does. I don't say those things because they're personal and they're private and they're things that he's sharing with me. And sometimes he shared something with me and I interpret it means this, but it didn't mean that at all. 4 years later, I think, oh, it meant that. And I don't want to mislead anybody from what Jesus is telling me, but he's speaking to me. And intimacy comes from one-on-one relationship. It's why early in our marriage, my wife stopped letting me bring our phone on our date nights. Because while she was talking to me, I was checking scores or, you know, texting somebody or, hey, somebody called, that's really important. Once I put the phone away, then she knew that she had me. That's why passionate pursuit of Christ requires going after him. Because why? We have a hidden life with Christ. How's your hidden life with Christ? And notice I didn't ask, how's your Bible study time? How's your prayer time? How's your tithing? I'm not asking you your disciplines. I'm not asking your religious practices. I'm saying, how's your time with Jesus? Are you getting to know him? Are you hearing him? Is he hearing you? Because Christ died and he loved you, not so that he could just put you in his service so you can do a bunch of stuff for him. Because I got good news for you. He doesn't need any one of us. He can get done whatever he wants without any of us. What he wants is your heart. He wants your heart. He wants you. He wants you to pursue him because he's got so many wonderful things to tell you about himself and about how he views you. How's your hidden time with Christ and God? How's the personal time that nobody else knows about? And here's the reality. Some of us lose our hope in Christ, not because Jesus has changed, because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes we stop pursuing him, and we don't have that intimacy with him anymore. And when you lose intimacy, your walk with Christ becomes religious. And when it becomes religious, it gets routine, and it gets boring, and it gets ugly. And you'll start saying things like this, I'm just tired of church. I don't get anything out of it anymore. But if you spend intimate time with the Lord every day all week, you will crave being around other people that spend intimate time with the Lord all week to come together and give him a full expression of worship that he so rightly deserves, right? And so when it comes to living the new life with Christ, it's knowing who Jesus is and that we're connected with him. Notice what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And it's hidden. It's not only hidden personally because nobody else can see what you do, but it's hidden from the world because the world doesn't know who God is. That's why we proclaim the gospel. That's why we tell people that God loves them. That's why we tell people they can have a relationship with him because the world can't see him. When Jesus was promising this great promise that he was going to send his Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. He said, that is the Spirit of truth. And he says this about the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. What? It means the world can't see or know God because until you trust in Jesus Christ personally alone, the blinders have not been removed. You can't see or know God. But what does he say? He says, they can't see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So when people tell me, how do you know that Jesus exists? I know Jesus exists, not just because the word of God teaches it, but I personally experienced the Jesus Christ in me. I know how he's changed me. I know how he's still changing me. I know how he rebukes me. I know how he encourages me. I know him. I have intimate relationship with him. I have a hidden life with him. But sometimes because my life is hidden with him, I can't expect non-believers in the world to understand what I do. That's why non-believers, when you're walking out kingdom principles, will say, why did you do it that way? That's stupid. Why would you give 10% of your income or more to a local church? That's dumb. Why would you spend your time on a weekend going to a worship service and spend an hour and a half of your day when it's your one free day of the week? That's dumb. Hey, why would you want to connect to other people and talk to them about faith things? That's dumb. Oh, and oh, by the way, why are you bringing your religion outside the doors of your church to us? That's dumb. Why? Because they don't see it and they don't feel it and they don't hear it. But here's what God says about his Holy Spirit. He brings righteousness, conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to people when we live that stuff out. It means there's a hidden life that I have with Christ where I have access to everything Jesus has access to. I have a hidden life with Christ, which is an intimacy that I develop with Jesus. But I also know this hidden life with Christ, when I live it out among people that don't know Jesus Christ, it's hidden to them too. They don't see it. They don't believe it. They don't experience it, which is all I can do is proclaim the love of Christ in the gospel and how much he loves them in hopes that his Holy Spirit will do a work, which is why he leads us to number four. And before we go to number four, let me just say this. Your source of joy is your heavenly position. Your source of joy is your heavenly position. It's this hidden heavenly position that you have in Christ. If you're not experiencing joy in Christ, just ask yourself this question. How often do I pursue that intimacy with him? Is he central to what I want? Is he central to what I'm looking for? Is he central? And then he gives this final one, living the new life with Christ. Like if you really have these first three, if you have a kingdom perspective and you're pursuing the Lord and you understand your position, then Jesus makes this fourth. And living the new life requires or involves this, a radical promise. A radical promise. Now listen to this. He says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life. Remember we talked about that? Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. What's our life? It's Christ. It's hidden. Nobody else sees it. They might see fruit from it. Other Christians may see fruit from it. But the non-believing world will say, that's weird. That's nutty. I don't believe any of that. But when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, guess what? Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. There's a promise of justification. There's a promise of, I'll make it known that you are really seeking me. Here's what Jesus says. I'm coming back. He's coming back. Did you know Jesus Christ is coming back? He made the promise he was coming back, and you can make that promise once you rise from the dead and show that you have power over death. He's coming back. I can tell you exactly when he's coming back. The Bible makes it crystal clear. Do you want to know when he's coming back? The Bible tells us, it's in black and white, soon. He's coming back soon. I'm 100% sure of that. That's when he's returning. The question is, are you ready for him? Because it's going to be a glorious day, because when Jesus Christ comes out of the sky in a flash, in a moment's notice, there's not going to be time to repent. There's not going to be time to get our life right. There's not going to be a time to say, oh, shoot, I didn't. He's coming, and he's coming quickly. And when he comes, not only will he be glorious, but for all of us who have eagerly been awaiting him, here's what's going to be revealed. I'll reveal that you knew me. I'll show the world that you were right in what you heard. I'll vindicate everything that they said about you. When they said that was stupid, they'll never say that again, because I'll come and say, she was listening to me. He heard me. He was living for me. She was living for me. They're on my team. See, when Jesus Christ comes back, he separates like the sheep from the goats. And to the sheep, he says, hey, come over here. You're part of Team Jesus. You're on my team. You've been waiting for me. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then to those who don't know him, that will be hostile to him even when he returns. He's like, depart from me, I never knew you. You lived in your sin, you didn't want me, you didn't want anything to do with me. Now you get to spend eternity without me. Right? That's the reality, and here's the radical promise. The radical promise is that when Christ's glory is revealed, we too will be revealed in glory. It means we get to share in the glory of God. Not because we're glorious, it's because God's glorious, and his glory is so huge, and his glory is so eminent, and his glory is so majestic that we get to bask in that. Like, I don't know every one of you personally. I don't know what God has planned for every one of you personally, but I do know this on the authority of God's word. There is nothing more glorious planned for your life as a Christian than that. You may have the best vacation coming up. You may have all the money in the world. You may have all the relationships in the world. You may have everything. I promise you, it will pale in comparison, if you know Christ, to the moment that he returns on planet Earth. Amen? And one of the reasons that we don't experience the power and presence of God presently is because one of these four things is off. We get frustrated, we get understand because we're seeing from an earthly perspective rather than a kingdom perspective. And we get all befuddled and wonder like, what's going on and why is this not working? And then instead of a passionate pursuit, we're kind of waiting for the Lord to do something. Lord, if you want to change me, change me. It doesn't work that way. And some of us have forgotten our heavenly position and our identity and who we are and that we're beloved and that we're chosen and that we're redeemed and that we're blessed. And for some of us that own those things, we've forgotten the radical promise that this is temporary, this world is temporary, and Jesus Christ is coming back and he will vindicate every single wrong that's been done to you. Keep living that life. What you believe about Christ in his scriptures is true. So here's two questions for those of you who are here today who would say, I don't know that I've ever had a relationship with God the way you're describing. Why not make today your day? Why not recognize that you're dead in your sins, but that Jesus Christ came to forgive them all and make you alive? And for some of you who are here today, you say, oh, I know all that, Pastor Jeff. I've repented of my sins. I gave Jesus my sins. He gave me his righteousness. I know that I'm redeemed. But as I've been listening to you today, I realize there's something out of alignment in my focus. What is the thing that God showed you was out of focus? Because the great news about the gospel is no matter whether you're Christian or non-Christian, the moment you come back to the cross and repent, he redeems, he forgives, and he lets you start fresh right now. Which means that there is every single voice that's listening to me on every campus can listen and know that you can begin fresh with Jesus today. Isn't that good news? You can live the new life going forward. You don't have to wait 5 years. You don't earn it. You don't perform for it. You simply receive it. And so today I wanted to end by just praying that prayer. Lord Jesus, we just come before you now. Lord, there are some here today that have never trusted in you as their personal Lord and Savior. Why not today? Why not today? And if that's you and you say, well, I'm not so sure, or I think I might have prayed a prayer and I just don't know. If that's you, here's how you can pray. Lord Jesus, right now I recognize I'm still dead in my sins. But I believe that you came and died for me on a cross and were buried and that you rose from the grave. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, and I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. I give you all my sin, and I receive all your righteousness. Lord, for those who prayed that prayer from the sincerity of their heart, Lord, flood them with your Holy Spirit and let them know that they know that they know that they belong to you. And Lord, for those of us who are here today who say, Lord, we know you, we believe in you, we believe it's only through your death on the cross and your resurrection and your shed blood we have life. Lord, show each one of us here ways in which our perspective has been altered that's keeping us from honoring you. Perhaps there's ways we blamed you or gotten frustrated with you or want to go check out another religion because it's been really us that hasn't been doing what you want us to do. And Lord, show us those things. Let us be reminded that you forgave all our sin. And we celebrate you and we love you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
You're listening to Brave. Our Bible teacher is Jeff Schwarzentraub, lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. And today's lesson is the final segment of a three-part message titled Living the New Life. If you've missed any part of this lesson, or you'd like to revisit an earlier message from our current series in Colossians called Focused, visit bravemedia.online. Another great way to stay connected is by downloading the Brave Church app to your smartphone or mobile device. You'll have complete access to all of our faith-building tools and fellowship opportunities at Brave Church. Consider joining a small group for Bible study, sharing prayer requests, and signing up for service events right from your phone. Just go to the App Store, search for Brave Church Denver, and download the app today. Now, if you're ever in the Denver area, we'd love to meet you in person here at Brave Church. You can join us for our weekend worship service at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster. And if you're listening from elsewhere, you can join us through our live stream. For details and directions to attend or stream weekend services, head to bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom, and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have questions or comments, maybe you'd have a prayer request to share with Pastor Jeff, reach out and let us know today. We enjoy hearing from you, so don't hesitate to email hello@bravechurch.co. Again, that's hello@bravechurch.co. Or if you'd like to send a letter in the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Well, that brings us to the end of today's program. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Jeff begins a new message on the importance and practice of staying driven spiritually as we continue growing in our walk of faith. It's a practical lesson titled Keep Growing, and you'll hear it tomorrow right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.